Here, the old gods are dead.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems. But getting therapy has its own problems too. Like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable, too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
41 episodes in and we still don't know how to record a fucking podcast.
The audio will never be our strong point.
The content will also not be our strong point. The introduction will also not be our strong point.
What is the strong point?
The chemistry. This is the Creepy Wee Podcast. I'm Rebecca with Liam.
Hi. Are we on time?
Yeah, this will release on Wednesday, given that I edit tomorrow.
This is a treat, I say, giving the bare minimum.
No, two episodes in a row on time.
I know.
The last one was only on time because we decided when we were coming back.
Oh yeah, and we delayed it by a week. But no one knows we delayed it by a week. We just did.
Look, I was not in a place.
We never claimed to be perfect.
No. If podcasting was our full-time jobs, maybe it would be better, but...
I doubt it.
Unlike other podcasters, we are not jobless.
That's so nasty. I agree, though.
Anyway, Liam has much tea for me because he's been on holiday in Lithuania and I haven't heard any gossip because he wants to monetize.
She was like, what's been going on? I was like, this and that. Literally 5 minutes before this, I was like, oh my God, I've not really done anything. I have nothing to talk about, but... I've been on holiday in Lithuania for a week, and then I've also had a PhD interview, and I've also been to Stirling this weekend. So I've actually done a lot. What about you?
Fuck off. Gone.
Yeah, so it was in Lithuania. Like, it was so sunny the whole time. It was like utopia. Like, this was like the children playing in the park, young mothers like walking around the pram in said park, old ladies sitting on the bench. You know, in Charmed, when they, you know, that plot line where they like create utopia, and it's,
yeah,
it was exactly like that. Birds eating flowers, blooming. I would live there. But then also they have a really harsh winter, and I went like just before summer started, so it was like perfect weather.
Yeah, I'm not bold enough, brave enough. Like every year, like winter comes around and I'm like, how have I not acclimatized to this yet?
Yeah, no. Well, it's really hard here because we don't really actually have seasons.
Yeah, because it's a fucking desolate, horrible island.
It's a rainforest. Yeah, but I had a great time. I'm so exhausted because like I went, like I've like not stopped since I went there. And also when I went there, because I went with my boyfriend and he's from there. So I met all of his friends. So I've just mm-hmm. been meeting new people the whole time. One of his friends, so his friends, like their English speaking accent either sounds how you expect like Eastern Bloc English speaking accent to sound, or it's like SoCal American accent. it's so insane. Like, one of his friends, she's like, we were staying with her and she has a cat. Her cat's so cute. But she would just say like the funniest things. Like, she was like, when, like, on the first day I met her, she was like, so are you two like gonna get married? and then another time, I think this was like the second day, but we had all been drinking, and she's like, can you just kiss? I love. Which is so funny. She's so like, I can't even explain how obsessed I was with her. I also had a very like intense experience at one point. So me, Narius, and one of his friends, we went, the same friend that I was just talking about, we went to visit some of the churches, and we went into like a wine shop, Vinoteca or something, or Vinoteco. It's like a chain liquor store. And we went in, and she bought her juice, and I picked up my juice, but then Narius was getting it for me. It was like just a bottle of orange juice. We were thirsty. It was very sunny and we were staying hydrated. Anyway, before Narius gets into the queue, another guy, like a very jakey looking guy, like it's sort of the same demographic everywhere. Anyway, he got to the queue in front of Narius, and then the woman at the counter was like speaking fully in Lithuanian. So I had no idea what was going on because I have a very rudimentary Lithuanian. I can do like little bits of conversation and like counting and food and stuff. And then she goes and locks the door and leaves the key in the door, and I'm like, what's going on? Because he was there and like he had a friend with him, and I was like, why would she leave the key in the door unless he told her to do it? So I was like, is this place being robbed? Am I gonna be robbed? I was like very visibly like receding into myself. I turned around to Narius's friend, and she was like, do you want some juice? just to drink. But then I had no idea what was going on. And then afterwards, I saw him take a bottle of like rum out of his sleeve and put it on the counter after she had like for 5 minutes looked at security footage. So I had no idea what was going on for 5 minutes. I was like, my passport's going to be taken. I'm not going to be able to get home. I'm going to die. And then after that, like, he just left with nothing, and him and his friend like sprinted out the shop. So I asked afterwards what had actually gone on. And I was told basically he had just gone to buy a beer, but then she said, I noticed you looking at a bottle of rum. Are you still going to buy it? And he was like, oh no, I put it back. She looked at the shelf. She noticed that something was odd with the shelf. Then she looked at the security footage and she said, so are you going to pay for that bottle of rum that's in your sleeve or not? After she locked the door. And then he was like, yeah, sure. And then he took it out of his sleeve and put it on the counter, and then pretended to look through his bag for 5 minutes for his card. And then she was like, get the fuck out and never come back. And then when we were leaving the shop, we noticed on the wall as you like leave through the door, which was there when we came in, we just didn't notice, it's like huge, like A4 prints of like people's faces from security camera footage. Like,
oh my God.
Don't serve these people or whatever. But yeah, it's crazy. Like, cause like petty theft like that obviously happens in Scotland as well. But the protocols here are different because you're not allowed to like lock other people in the. Yeah, exactly. So I guess because maybe it happens less there, there's like more protocols for intervening because like.
Yeah, when I worked in like famous fast food chain McDoondles, they were like, when I got trained, I was like 17 or 16. And they were like, if anybody ever tries to rob here, which will only happen, just give them everything. Open every till, give them everything and just get them out.
Even give them like, 3 cheeseburgers and say, see you later, baby.
See you next week. Yeah, that's literally like, what they said.
I was like, am I going to die? I really, for real.
Over a bottle of rum.
Yeah.
You've all got locked in there over like dead man's fingers like, or Bacardi. Yeah,
it was like a 15-year-old bottle of rum.
Just would have given them it.
Me too. I Hope she's getting paid well.
Yeah, she's built different. That wouldn't be me.
Yeah, but it was fun. And then the day after I got back, I immediately had a PhD interview.
How did it go?
I think it went fine. I got an email afterwards saying, thanks for coming. The panel were extremely impressed with your presentation and your overall interview. And then I should hear back this week.
Creepy Wee Podcast prayer circle for Liam.
Yeah,
everybody
please.
Gather your thoughts manifest.
Oh my God, yeah, because this will be released hopefully, because they said Friday, so hopefully it'll be released before then, so people will listen and say a little prayer.
I genuinely have like no update to beat that.
You didn't get robbed?
No, I went out on Friday night again. This is becoming a problem, actually.
Oh, after work drinky poos?
Yeah, again. I wonder when the novelty, like...
It doesn't.
Yeah, it doesn't. But it feels like it's not gone. I had a really fun time. I was with Amir. We went to NQ64 and we also went to play pool. Absolute fortune. An absolute fortune.
That sounds like a lot.
If we had focused our energy in NQ64, so this is like a chain where you can go and play like arcade games and stuff like that, but they've got like PlayStations and stuff. And I really believe that if me and Amir had just focused our energies on Simpsons Hit and Run, that we would have completed it. Because we definitely got like, halfway through Bart's bit, and then Amir was like, oh, let's say something else. And I was like, no.
We're not even at Marge yet.
I know, the best bit.
That is the best bit.
Yeah, I literally have nothing to say. I've got a stupid question to ask you.
Okay.
Because I was on TikTok and it like came up. And it's like fun questions to ask your partner. So I was like, that'll do for me and Leo. If someone told you that I was arrested without giving any additional explanation, what's the first assumption you would make and why?
I think fighting in a
Fighting?
Oh. Yeah. You're a bar brawl kind of person.
This drink's starting to taste like, did he just fucking touch me? I think yours would be like having an actual full-blown mental breakdown on public transport.
I agree, because like I almost forgot that like my main thing that I was going to talk about on here for the intro bar was that I like, obviously I'm back on the public transport grind, going to work every day, back to reality. And I got on the train today and I was like, is it worth it? Is it worth it? It's like, you get to the barriers at Waverley and then my ticket didn't work. And then the people were just standing there and I was like, excuse me, please, excuse me. I then missed my bus that I needed to get afterwards. By like literally like, and I was sprinting by 5 seconds, which was even more embarrassing because I was running to try and catch it, but only one person got on, of course, and no one that was standing at the bus stop thought to like hold the bus for me, which I would do.
That's Edinburgh for you. That's Edinburgh for you. That's so embarrassing that you wouldn't catch me running for a bus.
Yeah, I'm never doing that again.
What kind of worms have I actually owned? Oh my God, speaking of worms.
Wait, that's a good segue.
Would you still love me if I was a worm? Yes,
I would keep you in my pocket and I would feed you little like pieces of grass or whatever worms eat, maybe microbes and dirt. I'd feed you dirt. I always ask Nemius this and he just ignores me. He hates this question.
The focus on worm. I'm gonna have to put that in the Instagram post for anybody who doesn't again. Would you still love me if I was a worm? So that is a segue, because for this episode we're going to be talking about the Mr. Stoor worm, which doesn't sound that exciting, but it's a dragon, so it's not like a dirty worm, which the title would allude to. It's about a dragon.
Yeah, why'd they call it a worm if it's a dragon? Is it just because it lives underground?
I will be getting into the etymology and stuff once I tell you the fairy tale. So we'll take a wee break and then we'll talk about the Mr. Stoor worm.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices
down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, to get 30, to get 20, 20, 20, to get 20, 20, to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
So if you've never listened to us tell a fairy tale before, I pretty much leave them untouched for the sources that I use. So this one, actually, I'm balancing my mic on the book that I used. Hold on.
And also, if you've not heard us tell a fairy tale before, go listen to all the other episodes. Like,
yeah.
What are you waiting for?
I think, I honestly think that these are the most fun episodes that we do. So this one comes from Scottish Folk Tales. It doesn't have an author, but it's by Lomond Publishers. So this is the story Asipatl and the Stoorworm. And I'm keeping all the whimsical language of the fairy tale in because it's my favourite. So there was once a dreadful and evil race of creatures known as the Stoorworm. Enormous, fearful sea monsters, and the largest and most fearful of all was the Mester Stoorworm. Nobody knew where he had come from, but it was said that he had been created by the devil. He had grown so large that his body curled right around the world. His massive forked tongue could sweep entire cities into the sea and crush the largest castles, but he could also use it to pick men up who were working on fields or single ship out of the sea. His breath was so foul and poisonous that it would kill any living thing that came within a mile of it. And when he yawned, the earth shook and the fields would flood.
Bitches who vape 5 minutes into a night out. My friend Fraser works in polo. I don't know if that's doxing, but I'm keeping it in. And he like has such a grievance with like people like who vape. And he's like, they may taste nice, but please stand, like, keep your COVID rules. Like, I don't want to smell that.
The breath of the Stoorworm just smelling like a pink lemonade elf bar. A lost Mary. But the Stoorworm is Philip Schofield.
That was good. I'm proud of you.
So everybody dreaded the Stoorworm ever reaching their land, because then they would have to feed it and satisfy its terrible hunger. Every Saturday at sunrise, the Stoorworm would wake, open his cavernous mouth, yawn 9 times, and demand a meal of 7 young maidens. So specific. A long time ago, the Stoorworm arrived off the coast of an ancient country, much to the fear of all the people there. A wizard, who had the reputation for being very wise, told the king that they would have to keep the Stoorworm happy. The folk would have to feed the beast 7 young maidens every Saturday at sunrise. As you can imagine, the local folk were less than happy about this and soon grew very angry at having to give up their daughters and watch them be so cruelly devoured in the jaws of a monster. So the wizard went to the king and said that he thought if the king were to give up his own daughter, the most beautiful girl in the whole country, then the worm would leave and trouble them no more. I love the exchange rate, like seven busted bitches for one hot girl.
One beautiful, radiant woman will save the world. Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
So the king is horrified. The princess was his only daughter and he loved her dearly, but his duty to the kingdom was clear and he was forced to agree. To save the land, his beloved daughter should go to the Stoorworm.
Real as fuck. What's that called? Utilitarianism. This is really just a trolley problem.
Yes.
When you think about it.
Pull the lever and kill seven ugly busted bitches. Or pull the lever again and kill your own hot daughter.
The seven ugly bitches. Every time.
Pretty once privilege does not work here. You're going to the Stoorworm. So the grief-stricken king asked that his daughter be spared for 3 weeks so that a proclamation could be sent out to all the land. If anyone would fight and kill the monster, he should receive his daughter's hand in marriage, half the kingdom, and his famous sword, Sickersnapper, which he had inherited from Odin himself. I love that, like, there was, like, did they send the proclamation to the Stoorworm so for 3 Saturdays he didn't eat seven ugly bitches? Like, he just took a break being like, no, I'll wait.
Yeah.
I'll wait for the hot one.
did he know?
Yeah, surely there was 21 women who had to be sacrificed in the 3 weeks as the king got the word out.
That's a lot.
36 warriors arrive at the castle, but when they caught sight of the Stoorworm, 12 fell ill and had to be taken home, 12 ran away, and the other 12 got so drunk that they were fit for nothing.
Choose your fighter. Which one are you? Tag yourself.
The king decided that there was nothing for it, but that he should fight the Stoorworm himself, and he determined that the very next morning he would take his sword and go to conquer the worm. But before he got the chance to do so, an unlikely hero arrived. He was called Asipatl. The youngest of 7 sons, Asipatl lived with his father and mother and brothers on a farm. All his family worked hard on the farm except for Asipatl. I'll be very clear here. This hero is not likable at all. I think you're meant to like be like, oh, like he just wants to like live in his little fantasies and stuff. And I'm like, no, he sounds like a total lazy bastard. Like I did not find him to be a good hero. It's kind of like in Zelda, how like every game, like at the start, Link is like asleep and being like a lazy cunt. That is what it reminded me.
Yeah, but he's likable.
Yeah, Link is
because
likeable.
He's silent.
Yes. So Oi Asipatl's family work hard, but he spent his days lying beside the big open fire in the kitchen, where he became covered in the thick ashes for the peat, and hence he got the name Asipatl, which means ash boy.
wait. That feels like a slur. Charlie XCX, ashtray.
Asipatl's mother and father despaired him, and his brothers cursed him for a fool, kicking and beating him regularly. The entire family would laugh out loud when Asipatl told fantastic tales and sagas in which he was always the hero of countless incredible battles.
It kind of feels like this story was written by an incel.
It's a self-insert by someone.
Yeah, Joss Whedon.
So Asipatl hears the king's plea and the rewards on offer, and he slipped away for the farm and rode on his father's horse, which could run faster than the wind, until he arrived at the coast where the monster lay. He set out to sea in a little boat carrying a knife and an iron pot, which lay a smouldering peat from the hearth. As he approached the slumbering monster, he could see that its head was as big as a mountain with eyes like dark round locks. The sun began to rise, and as it was Saturday, the creature began to yawn. Asipatl steered closer to the creature as it yawned a second time. With each yawn, a vast tide of water was swept down into the worm's throat until finally, when he was close enough, one of these waves swept Asipatl's tiny boat into the Stoorworm's mouth.
Nice.
Asipatl and his boat were carried through the mouth and then down the long throat. Through twisting passages and deep dark tunnels, mile after mile, he was whirled with seawater gurgling all around him until at last the current lessened and the water level dropped. The boat grounded, and Asipatl knew that he had only a short time before the steward yawned again. So climbing from his boat, he ran as he had never run before. This reminded you anything at all?
Jonah and the Whale.
Yep. Yeah. We'll get into the Pinocchio of it all. Turning one corner after another, he finally came across the creature's liver. Pulling out his knife, Asipatl cut a hole in the liver and stuffed the smouldering peat into the wound. He blew on the peat for all it was worth until it finally took light. With a crackle and a splutter, the worm's monstrous liver began to burn and was soon a blazing bonfire. Asipatl ran back to his boat and managed to jump aboard, but only just in time, for the burning liver had made the sewer worm retch. A flood of water from its stomach picked up the little boat and sent it hurtling back towards the worm's mouth. With a spray of water, Asipatl was, and bile, I imagine, since he's cut home his liver.
Yeah, I find it really fascinating how, like, a lot of old stories, like, a lot of sickness centers around the liver. Because, like, obviously now we're like, my tummy hurts, my stomach. but, like, you know, like, the term, like, I'm feeling liverish, like a very oldie sort of.
Yeah.
Like people used to, I think.
I bet this is to do with the humours.
Yeah, well, that's what I was thinking. But forgive me if I'm wrong. I think the French people still have like a sort of common word for, well, maybe the older people have a common word like that's like feeling liverish or like my liver hurts or something instead of like my tummy.
Oh, that's cool. I didn't know that.
Yeah, I think so. Anyway, I might have made that up. I don't think I did though. Wait, I'm wondering like, see this stir worm? How big is it? Because it's like big enough. Is it hyperbole that it's big enough to wrap around the world, or does it change size? Does it depend on the temperature?
I think like its whole body is like wrapped under the sea around the world, like all the seas of the world.
Oh, like a transatlantic cable.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's the internet. So Asipatl's launched up because he set the liver on fire. With a spray of water, Asipatl was spewed from the monster's mouth and hurtled back over the sea before landing safely on shore. Once back on shore, Asipatl watched as the fire grew bigger. Black smoke billowed from the monster's nostrils, and in his agony, his forked tongue shot out and up into the sky, then fell with such a crash that it made a deep rift in the earth. The tide rushed into the rift, and this became the Baltic Sea. This is a creation story. It's so cool, right? The sewer worm twisted and writhed in torment, flinging his head up into the sky. Every time it fell back down to the earth, the whole world shook and groaned. With each fall, teeth dropped from its foaming mouth. The first lot of teeth falling became the Orkney Islands, and the next, the Shetland Islands. Last of all, when the sewer worm was almost dead, the Faroe Islands fell with an almighty splash. In the end, the creature coiled up, and its huge body created a giant mass which remains there to this day. We call it Iceland. The fire that still dances to this day from the mountains is the liver of the sewer worm still burning. Gag of the century.
I love when a folktale turns into a creation story out of nowhere. I love it so much.
It's like in the Greek myths where it's like, oh, like, say Zeus slept with somebody and Hera was after them, so he turned them into stars and put them in the sky.
Yeah, exactly. I was thinking like stars, like Orion's Belt and stuff.
Yeah, so that's how we got Iceland. Once the sky had cleared and the sun shone again, the king took Asipatl into his arms and called him his son, and the people rejoiced that the sewer worm was dead. Asipatl was given the sword Sickersnapper and half the kingdom, and luckily he and the princess fell in love for a week later that they were married in great style in the royal palace. They live in happiness and joy, and if they are not dead, they are living still. I love that. Was like when we did the Black Billy Norway, and it's like, and if they're not dead, they're still living now. Like Scottish folktales always finish that way. I love that.
Do you believe in life after love? I'm so serious. I love that. I like that one. That's my favorite one so far.
I have things to say, so I've obviously got a bit of etymology here. The name Stourworm was derived from the Old Norse Storgander, which is an alternative name for Jormungandr. Who fucking knows if I'm saying that right?
Yes, exactly.
Jormungandr. Anyway, the world or Midgard serpent of Norse mythology. Stour was a term used by Scots in the latter part of the 14th century to describe like the animosity fighting in battles, like if like a dirty, horrible battle would be called stour or stoury. It could also be applied to the violent conflicts of the weather elements, so wind and rain and like lightning and thunder. I use stour quite a lot. Like it's a word that I still use.
Yeah.
I obviously talk in Scots most of the time, but I use it to describe things that are like dusty and dirty, like black with soot, like stour. That's how I would use it.
Yeah, messy.
Yeah. Which is cool to see where that word actually came from. Yeah. But it's weird because I've never thought like where stour would have came from, but it's a great word to like, and like immediately that means like grotty or like,
yeah, especially when the sort of like dirt that it's associated with is like sort of like soot build up and stuff, and then you have coal and then you have like fire and then you have like dragons.
Yeah,
have fun.
But obviously like it's not just the stour worm or a stour worm that's in this story, it's the Mestur stour worm. And Mestur is just basically the Scots way of saying master. So the Mestur stour worm would be considered the master or father of all stour worms. And in Scotland, worm may frequently be applied to a dragon, as it is in Northern England, according to folklorist Catherine Briggs of the Encyclopedia of Fairies, Goblins and whatever that I use all the time. She says that the usage of worm or worm is fae Saxon and North terms.
Is that worm spelt with like a Y?
Was just going to say that, yeah. Right, so right. It's worm as in worm with a Y, so W-Y-R-M, yeah. Meaning dragon or serpent. It's scary. In Shetland, there was a long-standing belief that far away in the sea, near the edge of the world, because Scotland and like the Faroe Islands and Shetland and stuff, like it was all considered to be like the end of the world. Yeah. Like if you look at it on in like really ancient maps, it's kind of like past like Scotland and the islands, it's kind of like beasts be here kind of thing, like dragons be here. That's kind of the stuff that you would see on like ancient maps. So basically in Orkney they believed that and at this edge of the world lived a monstrous sea serpent that took about 6 hours to draw his breath and then 6 hours to let it out again, which is speculated was probably an explanation for the cycle of the tides, because obviously at that point they didn't again, it was like the moon's pool, so it's a dragon breathing in and out like a massive water beast.
Oh, I like that.
Like obviously I'm very much assuming that people who listen to this podcast like are up to date on their Greek mythology. I see you queers for what you are.
A lot of bisexual flags in the bios of the people who follow this podcast.
So if like me, like listening to the story, you've ever been like, this really does sound like the tale of Perseus saving Andromeda for the Kraken. It's the same kind of thing. So it's like they're sacrificing young maidens. The king decides to intervene, gives his own daughter up to finally appease the beast. A hero comes in, saves the princess, marries the princess, all is well, defeats the beast, etc. So there is a thinking between amongst folklorists that stories like this kind of originated in like pagans moving away for like animal and human sacrifice.
Mm-hmm.
And this was like their way, like we didn't have to do this anymore because the heroes of old have done it and it doesn't need to happen anymore, essentially. And then there's just been like loads of different versions that have been adopted over time.
That's
cool, eh?
That is cool.
Yeah, and there's like a few like Herculean feats that are like similar.
Yeah. I also love, like, any story that has a dragon in it. I love the concept of dragons because, like, you know, like, the theory that, like, you could leave, like, 40 people on an island with no contact with the outside world, and if you let their society progress, they'd have myths of dragons.
Yeah, everybody has them.
Yeah, but even ones that didn't communicate with other cultures, like it's just an innate computational insert.
What was it I seen? That's the you know, like the kind of Assassin's Creed theory where it's like your DNA kind of holds memories.
Mm. Epigenetic trauma.
Yeah, it's like the reason why we are so fascinated by these creatures, like obviously like Game of Thrones, the Priory, the Orange Tree, like are two like recent pieces of literature that I can think about that are about dragons, How to Train Your Dragon. Like we're still obsessed. Yeah, we're still like fascinated by these creatures. And why? Who knows?
They're cool.
Aye,
but
cool.
Also, they come. I guess they combine elements of everything that we should be scared of.
Yeah.
Big fire, lizard, sharp teeth, impervious to fighting. So many things. Hoarding wealth. We should fear hoarding wealth.
The Hobbit was actually like an anti-capitalist book. No, I wanted to do it because I originally wanted to do the Nine Maidens of Dundee, which we probably will do at some point, but
fun fact, they are actually nine maidens that were spared from being fed to the Stourworm.
No, but I thought that one's quite short and quite repetitive, in a fun fairy tale kind of way. So maybe I'll collect shorter stories about dragons and we can talk about them one day. But I've seen this one in one of my many books of Scottish mythology and folklore and was like, no, we need to do this. But aye, that is the Stourworm. Would you still love me if I was a worm?
I told you I would carry you in my pocket in a patch of dirt.
I can that you're. I'm meant to be picturing myself as a worm, but all I can picture is Jiminy Cricket. Would you still love me if I was Jiminy Cricket?
No, I would step on you. Squish you. I think he looks really satisfying to squish because he looks kind of like a grape.
I'd eat Jiminy Cricket.
Yeah, you go, like, you know how you get those like crickets on like a stick from like street vendors, and one of them has a top hat.
High protein Jiminy Cricket stick. Anyway,
I'm kind of hungry now. Teriyaki Jiminy Cricket, I would eat that.
Anyway, that's been the Creepy Wee Podcast. If you want to follow us on social media, you can follow us on Instagram at the Creepy Wee Podcast, Twitter at the Creepy Wee Pod. If you want to buy merch or anything else, you can go to our website, thecreepyweepodcast.co.uk. Bye. The copyright claim. We're the way that we've already got one episode that is not on YouTube because of us being Kylie Minogue in it.
Oh, yeah. She really is against us. Do you think we should write her like an email, like, we love you so much and we use you in our podcast all the time, and then we have to take it out again because you copyright us all the time? Cease and desist from Kylie Minogue, Gwen.
We're selling merch with your lyrics on it.
Shh, no, that's unrelated.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
I'm Ina Garten. Welcome to Be My Guest, the podcast. One of the best gifts you can give friends is spending time together. But what's even better than that? Cooking with them. On Be My Guest, the podcast, new friends and old stop by my barn for some conversation and great cooking. We talk about food, life, and everything in between. Listen to Be My Guest, the podcast with me, Ina Garten, and join us wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.